Fighting Tyranny. You're listening to Knights of the Sword.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Knights of the Storm. Today is Saturday, December 9th, 2023. And today we're going to be talking about the climate change stuff. They had this this COP28 meeting. We'll kind of go over some of the topics they talked about. Talk a little bit about globalization, like how we got to where we are. And then we'll just hammer the climate stuff. We're gonna kind of knock some nonsense out of it and see what y'all think. With me today is Angus Mustang, as always. How are you this morning, Angus?
I am well, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing good. You were telling me earlier it doesn't feel like Christmas time. Could that be the economy?
I think it's a little bit of everything. That they don't want us to even feel Christmas anymore. They don't want us to. That's a whole other rant for a whole other day. But
okay, yeah, I'm noticing it too. Yeah, I'm noticing it too. And I'm really bad about getting my last minute shopping in because it creeps up on me. I think today or this year I'll probably do my last minute shopping after New Year's. Because I don't see Christmas coming, you know. But anyhow,
get better deals after anyway.
Oh yeah, there you go. I heard Black Friday was a bust too this year. It's nobody got no money.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump into the verse of the week. We got a lot of stuff to go over today, let me go ahead and throw it up. All right, this comes from Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And I grabbed that one because I know I've been feeling it. Tiger's been feeling it. When we get into this stuff week after week after week, you know, sometimes multiple times a week, it kind of like breaks your spirit, You know, it really does. And, you know, we got to still be happy. We do the fight. We do what we got to do. But don't let it break your spirit because it's not good. We got to, you know, commune with each other and talk and have a good time and be merry. And on that note, we have one of the leaders in our community, David Knight. He had a little trouble the other day, ended up not doing the show Friday. So I would ask that you pray for him and his family, that he makes a speedy recovery. And we see him on Monday. And, you know, that's what I got. What do you think about that? Broken spirit thing.
I'm telling you, I agree. I mean, that's kind of what we were just talking about before we came on. It's like, you know, I think it is more because of what we do. You know, you start looking at all this and listening to podcasts and it, you know, all day. I mean, it's stuff you need to know. But yeah, yesterday I took a break from it, man. I just did a little in and out here and there, but just listen to Modern Retro Radio for most of the day, you know, afterwards. And but it gets to you. It just wears you down. And in some ways, you know, with all the bad information we get constantly, you know, war over here, global warming and, you know, inflation and this and that. I really think they do this shit on purpose. I'm sorry.
This stuff they're trying to crush our spirits, you know. Yeah. And this stuff, doing the research and seeing that they're doing it in plain sight and nobody knows, nobody sees it because they're so busy trying to survive. And they got to understand that these conditions that they're living in were created by these same people doing this in plain sight. It is depressing and it'll break down your spirit. It'll break down your, you know, just depressing. So we got, as we do this, we got to try not to get in that mode. And we take a break. We did the Name That Tune episode. You know, sometimes we do a little fun episode. So I think we'll see more of that in the future so we don't burn ourselves out, you know. And you do Event Horizon, which is a great and you'll be doing that tonight, right?
Yes, sir.
Nice. So I guess we'll jump into it. Let me give shout outs real quick. So we got Tiger. What's up, Tigers in the house? That's Ashley from Union of the Unknowns. AGK810, what's up? You were the first one in. Harps is in here. Ann is in here. I see Patrick. That's Dad Guy. I know I said Harps already, right?
Yes.
Raul's in there. Am I missing anybody?
Did you get Angry Tiger Guard is in there?
Yeah, Angry Tiger Guard is in there. Yep. All right. Well, thanks for joining us so early, and we will jump into it. I got a video here to share so we know what this COP28 is, because I'd never really paid much attention to it. And this has actually been going on a while, 27 times before now. So here we go.
COP stands for Conference of the Parties. The gatherings are intense technical negotiations brokered by the UN. Countries are meant to work together to coordinate a global effort to reach net zero greenhouse gas emissions. But progress at successive COP summits has been limited. The first climate COP summit took place in Berlin in 1995, and representatives from more than 170 states or territories attended. 2 years later, at COP3 in Japan, countries agreed to the Kyoto Protocol, in which 37 industrialized states or territories were legally bound to start reducing their emissions. But the biggest polluter at the time, the United States, refused to ratify the agreement because it didn't oblige developing nations like China to cut emissions. And without the United States and China on board, the Kyoto Protocol began to crumble. Then at COP21 in Paris, there was a breakthrough. The Paris Agreement was adopted by more than 190 parties, including the US and China. Its ambition was to limit global warming to well below 2, but preferably 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrialized levels.
All right, I'm going to kill that because it's gonna crush my spirits to watch.
Wait, it already is. I want to know how they measure that 0.5 degrees Celsius. I mean, where do they come up with these numbers? I mean, oh my God.
They got an 1850 to 1900 average, and that's one thing I want to talk about. These numbers are so arbitrary, and we're gonna crush that here in a bit. But one thing I wanted to get into first is, if you notice, it's kind of like we're giving up our sovereignty to an unelected body, and all the nations got to come on board and everything. And I want to know, how did we get here? As the United States, how do we get here to where we're subservient to some international group? Don't our elected representatives, aren't they supposed to represent our interests and not the interests of some unelected international body?
But it seems to be that way with everything we do.
Yes.
You know, lately, you know, your health, not even just the climate, your health and this and that. They're just pushing us into the one world government thing.
Yeah, and that's what I looked up. I was looking into this about 2 weeks ago, and I was like, you know, I understand we have the UN and we're part of the UN, but you're right. We have all these three letters. We got the World Economic Forum. We've got the International Monetary Fund, World Health Organization, all these three letters out there that seem like they make the rules for us. And I'm like, where did they all come from? They all didn't just spring up naturally on their own. And we said, oh, yeah, we'll just do what you say. It's all actually comes from a root thing, which is the globalization thing. And that's what I want to get into first, is the globalization. So we all have a background on, first we'll talk about the topics that they talked about. Let me get this on stage here. So during this COP, these are some of the topics they talked about. Talking about artificial intelligence being harnessed for climate action. So I want to ask you, how can artificial intelligence do anything with climate? Outside of monitoring your usage.
Right. And artificial intelligence is programmed by somebody from the beginning. So any information it has is already tainted anyway by whatever way they want it to go. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like having a newborn baby and you teach that kid to be a Republican or you teach it to be a Democrat. You know, that's always what it's going to follow in that direction. And so artificial intelligence is no different. I think the only
thing when it comes to climate, this strong arm of the freaking UN, the artificial intelligence is going to be used to monitor your usage. That's the only thing they could possibly do with it. You know, then they got to get the one world payment system so that they know what you buy and what your carbon footprint is. And we're going to tear apart how that's, you know, we could talk about this all day, but really, if you go back when it comes to the climate strong arm of the UN, if you go and disprove their entire theory, that should take away their power, right? But for some reason, it doesn't. But we're going to look at it. Yeah, they're talking about deforestation, like doing away with deforestation. I thought they wanted to cut trees down and bury them as a way of storing the carbon, you know? Pretty sure they're talking about that. They had a youth day on December 9th. They had a youth day. It's scheduled for today, actually. Young people's demands for ambitious climate change. That is so freaking communistic to capture the young people. And that's where I see this going with everything. they're using all these different mechanisms to gain a little control, and now they've indoctrinated the young generation because we're kind of pushing back on it, right? We want our SUVs. We want, you know, we want to go on vacation. We want to fly. So now they're indoctrinating the young people. I know when I was in the Army still, I was just, my mind was blown. Within a couple years, I seen young kids, instead of pulling up to PT formation or whatever in some little souped up Honda, like I used to see, they're coming on electric scooters or bicycles. And I'm like, why would you not, you know, get a car? What happens when it rains? That's their mindset. They're saving the environment as they go to war, you know. Let's see what else we got here. There's a whole bunch of stuff. They have a full agenda. They have an award ceremony for the youth-led climate solutions. That's positive operant conditioning there. Let's award them, make them feel important so they do what we want. They make a plea to keep 1.5 alive, and we'll get into that 1.5. That is such a bogus number. Let's see. Tons and tons of stuff. I can't even go over it all.
I mean, I was looking at some of their categories that they like to put things in, and, you know, they're saying that since the 1880s, the sea level has risen 8 to 9 inches. How do you know this? I mean, I go to the beach, 8 to 9 inches, you wouldn't even know. I mean, 8 to 9 feet, yeah, you might go, oh, okay, yeah, the water is definitely up to the boardwalk now. It wasn't here before. But if you can, in 1880, somebody went out and actually measured the ocean and said, this is how deep it is now.
How do you do that? Yeah. I mean, we have these things called tides, and we have these things called waves.
Waves and tides, yeah.
Yeah, unless it was, you know, you can get rid of the moon and let all the waves stop, and don't let anyone throw a rock in there to cause the ripple.
There was one point that they said that the, I think it was in April of 2010, that the oceans actually receded and the depth was like stacking 6 pennies high. And how would you measure that? And why did it recede and then come back? And let's not forget, because a friend of mine, Mr. Al Gore, I'm saying it facetiously, who said that New York was going to be underwater. I think it was in 2014, it would be underwater. And these people still go on, you know.
Well, the same people are worried about the world's going to come to an end, and now they're saying if it goes up 100 millimeters, and they got to use the thing millimeters, so then they can get to the 100. 100 millimeters is 10 centimeters, and I want to show you. I actually brought this out. This is my calipers. Let me show you 100 millimeters here. All right. Oh, that's a little more. That's 100 millimeters, about the size of my palm. Is this going to end the world? And for people listening, it's a little bit less than 4 inches. So if the sea level goes up, and they say the world's going to end if it goes up that much, you know.
But and the other thing is, these are the people that are also buying all this beachfront property too.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. But anyway, let's go ahead and jump into the globalism portion, because I was just racking my brain, like, how do we give these people this kind of power? Well, it goes back to here we go. Bring this on. This is so much info. It's so hard to figure out what order to put it in. But this is a document, Role of the United Nations, and this is from 1998. I should preface it with that. So back in 1998, and this has been going on a lot longer than 98. This is just the one I went back to. So the role of the United Nations in promoting development in the context of globalization and interdependence. Yeah, because I want to be dependent. I want my country to be dependent on a global cabal. But this was their plan from the get-go. And if you read through this, it sounds pretty good. It sounds like what they want to do is look at some of these third world nations and developing nations and make sure they have clean water. They've got, their sewer system is good, you know, addressing famine, addressing disease. It sounds really good, but the whole thing was a bait and switch. And anyway, let's go down here. Part of this is it reaffirms the United Nations has a central role to play in promoting international cooperation for development, promoting greater policy coherence on global development issues, including the context of globalization and interdependence. So if someone thinks, you know, when we talk about globalist, if they think we're kooky, this is it. They've been talking about this for decades, that they want a global government. and that means power. It says they strongly stress the United Nations, the Bretton Woods Institution, and the World Trade Organization should intensify their collaboration as appropriate in promoting policy coherence, and that's basically do what we say, complementary, and coordination on economical, financial, trade. Okay, economical, financial, and trade. What are we seeing here today? They're really like crushing us with that. And development issues at the global level. So that's basically what they're trying to say is they're trying to get us out of our own, you can call it isolationist if you want. I call it independence. Like, we are one of the few nations in the world that could be self-reliant. We don't need other countries. They don't like that because they believe in this thing called equity. You know, in order to make a poor country more wealthy, you've got to bring that from somewhere. You know, they talk about equity. They're not talking about equality. They're talking about equity. And all these documents, they bring up that word equity. That's been out for a while. So how do you, you know, if I got a poor guy, 10 poor people on the street and one rich guy, equity means I take his stuff and give it to the other people. And that's what we're seeing here. And in order to do that, you got to have the power. So
I don't even know if I fully believe that, because I don't think these people care about making it equal. They care more about taking everything, you know, going back to the you will own nothing and you'll be happy scenario.
Yeah,
they're not concerned about making it equal. And the other thing is, like, places like China, they're not abiding by any of this trade or the global climate accords or any of this stuff. You know, they're making everything for the world right now. China and India are making, you know, that's part of the plan. Manufacturing, and they don't abide by any of this stuff. So what difference does it make?
Well, that was part of the plan.
Making all of us poor.
They considered China back then to be a developing nation. So they had to offload what we did, you know, production-wise, to China to bring them up, but that brings us down. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what they want to do, is equity.
You know what the real truth of that was, to bring China up, was because, like, the Bushes and stuff that invested all this money into the factories in China. It was all about these people making profit. It had nothing to do with making anything equal. It's making themselves richer over everything else is what it comes down to. And they just feed it to you as we're trying to save the world and we're trying to help these poor people over here. They're full of crap. It's not why they do anything.
Yeah. Well, getting back to this. So that document was from 98. We fast forward to 2004, and I got this implementation of Agenda 21. So this is implementation of their agenda. Okay. Further implementation and the outcomes of the World Summit. Let's see what I had in here. So they reaffirmed the commitment to implement the Jonesburg plan. And that's the two documents I want to look at, because that's where the real power got handed over. And I know we're talking about climate, but I want people to keep this in mind. This is everything. World Health Organization, International Monetary Fund, all these people, they have power because we handed it over. In the guise of we're going to help these young nations out, you know, these poor nations, these diseased nations, that was what they promised us. Then we swore kind of an allegiance to them, our leaders did, which violates the Constitution, because their first thing should be this country and the Constitution, mm-hmm. not some, I don't know if they have their own international constitution, but their ideology, their plans, they swore to that. And now they're subservient. So they should all be fired. My opinion, they should all be fired. Anyone who attends these things, and they should be just fired and kicked out of the U.S. But anyway, so it reaffirms the commitment to this Jonesburg plan and then this National Millenniums Declaration. So that's the two I went back to. And in it, they're reaffirming that we're going to changing unsustainable patterns of production and consumption. So now we've already gone from we're going to help these other countries out with their sewage and their water and their economies, to now we're going to, like, you guys are unsustainable, so we need to cut you down. And I probably should put it on screen, but it's boring. It's just text. And then later it says it reiterates, talks about sustainable development being a key element for the United Nations activities, in particular for achieving the international agreed development goals, including those contained in those two documents, the Jonesboro Plan and the Millenniums Declaration. And one more thing, it encourages governments and organizations at all levels, as well as major groups, including the scientific community, and educators to undertake result-oriented initiatives and activities to support the work of the commission. I know this is long. And to promote and facilitate the implementation of Agenda 21. So everything's about their stupid agenda. And their agenda is not to help these other nations out. Like I said, that was a bait and switch. But now we've committed ourselves somehow. Says further implementation of Agenda 21. It talks about the Jonesboro plan again, including through voluntary multi-stakeholder partnership initiatives. Stakeholders again, there we go. So again, I know this is boring stuff, folks, but I wanted everyone to understand how we got to where we are and why it's important that we pay attention to this climate change stuff, because we've somehow handed over our sovereignty. You know, what meat we can eat, how far you can drive your car, everything goes back to Agenda 21, or goes back to this agreement they made years and years and years ago. So I don't know. What do you think? Where do you think we're going? You think that we're going to continue down this path? It's just going to get worse. As I've seen that agreeing to help other nations out has turned into handing over power and our sovereignty. And this climate change thing is part of that. You think it's going to get worse or better?
No, it's definitely going to get worse for us. I mean, the working class, or you know, the people in general of this country, because they're giving it all away, and I really don't think we can ever get it back. You know, they've gotten the deck stacked against us pretty big, and I don't see how we get control of our country or government back from these people.
Yeah, I actually think with the climate thing, I think some of these arms of the UN that are digging in and digging their heels in, I think they're going to break. I think this climate thing, at least when it comes, because the green energy is another beast off the beast as part of the climate change. The green energy is, and that's not working out for them too well. People aren't buying EVs. The manufacturers were getting heavily subsidized. Now the subsidies aren't enough, so they're kicking back on their production. Solar panels aren't lasting as long as they said they would. Windmills are burning up. You know, people are tired of it. When they get freezing in the wintertime and there's no power, they're going to push back.
But as they've taken, you know, sold off the strategic reserves and stuff like that, and denied permits to drill more, you know, and this, our independence goes away, and they're going to say, well, you can't have, you know, what do they say in New York? You can't have gas fired stoves, yeah, or whatever, you know. So they don't really care that they don't have the infrastructure for everybody to charge an EV or for everybody to buy an EV. They really, that was a bunch of crap. That was just to get you away from your car. They don't really, mm-hmm, you know, again, it goes back to that 15-minute city thing. You're not going to need a car because,
well, the sustainable development. But you know, the really sad thing is that they got the youth. They got the youth buying into this, and that's why I wanted to talk about climate change and the lie behind it, which we'll get to. I'll try to bust through this stuff real quick. But if we can break that down and say, look, they're lying to you about this, and you've given up your car, you've given up all this stuff, you're giving up meat, you're giving up everything because of a lie, that's the only way we can convince people that they need to push back. Otherwise they think the world's going to end, you know, and prove the lie about the rising sea waters and all that stuff. But I'll this Millennium document, and people can go look this up. I'll add it here real quick. One thing that I wanted to note, it talks about diversity, inclusion, equity. I mean, this is back in 2000. They're talking about the DEI freaking stuff. But this one thing I want to read here, because I don't want to keep us too long on this topic, was this guy. He's the United Nations Secretary, General Kofi Annan. He went out by saying, only you can determine whether the United Nations arises to the challenge. For my part, I hereby rededicate myself as from today to carrying out your mandate. Look at that. Mandate. I thought the UN had suggestions, not mandates. And again, in this other document, what was this one? This was the Johannesburg one. I only got one thing to show here. And then I'm just trying to show people how it started, how the globalization started as a positive movement to help poor countries. And then it moved into, well, now we've got to take your stuff away for equity purposes. And then it went from a, hey, we're just getting together to figure out what to do, to now they're starting to mandate stuff. And here's this one. And this is, I forget when this document was written, but it was around the same time. So one of the things, this was their plan of implementation right here. The objectives, strengthening cohesion. I won't go through all that. Increasing effectiveness and efficiency through limiting overlap and duplication of activities of international organizations. So they're talking about, you guys shouldn't all be doing the same thing on your own. We should come up with a global thing to deal with this, so we're not doing the same work. You know what I'm saying? Seems to make sense within, if you want a global government, within and outside the United Nations systems based on their mandates. Again, we have the word mandates. Mm-hmm. I don't like being mandated. I don't think this country should be mandated, and our representatives should not be signing on to this. You think?
No, I agree with that. And that's like you said. I mean, these people are just, our politicians are just, they're giving away everything and they have no care for us. They're not working for us anymore. They're working for what? I mean, you can't be anything more than working for a corporation, you know, lobbyists getting money or whatever, because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They are not representing us.
No. And I think, in my personal opinion, and I think, you know, if you dig around in the Constitution somewhere, it's probably going to say this, that if your interests lie elsewhere, you should be, I don't know, at the very minimum fired, potentially tried for treason.
But see, that's so, the thing with these people. They don't believe in the Constitution, in that, you know, and they don't care. And because otherwise, I mean, everything that they've done in probably the past, at least since 2020, is unconstitutional. But they don't care. And you remember, it was Obama that said the Constitution is a living document, which means that it can change at any time. So, you know, they put that ball in play, and we're powerless to stop them from saying these things and doing these things. They just don't care about the Constitution. There's no such thing.
Well, the Constitution can change. That's why we have an amendment process, but it shouldn't, if it falls outside of the Bill of Rights. The Constitution isn't designed to make things more difficult or more strict on the citizen. So if it does that, it's fallen outside the Bill of Rights, and it's an invalid, illegal amendment.
Right. You know, but like I said, they don't care. But, they just do it anyway. No. I mean, you shouldn't be governed by people outside. You know, that's just giving away everything. And again, it goes to, even just look at the, you know, during 2020 with mandates, the mass mandates and all that stuff. I mean, there's no way that was constitutional. There's no way they couldn't enforce that either. It wasn't a law.
But they do, because, you know, cops are stupid. Because,
yeah, yeah. And sheeple are stupid, and you give up your right, and, mm-hmm. you know.
All right, well, let's get on to the meat of it. I'm sorry I went through all that boring stuff today. We're not usually that boring, but I just wanted people to understand how boring. We got from being completely sovereign and free to handing over, you know, our rights to an international body, which is unelected. It was a gradual process. It was a bait and switch, and now we're all in, and we're all in on multiple fronts. But let's just talk about the nonsense of global warming. So I got this thing here. This comes from somewhere in the UK. It's a British Geological Survey. I won't put it on screen, but they're talking about the consequences of rising temperatures. And remember, we're talking about a couple degrees on average, right? A couple degrees. Mm-hmm. So it talks about agriculture, different crops demand different growing conditions, blah, blah, blah. I would tell you this. What is the consequences of global warming? Longer growing seasons? Have you been to the tropics? Have you been around the equator?
Well,
you're trying to tell me that you can't grow food if it gets a couple degrees warmer?
Keep going. I'm going to look something up while you're going, because I just remembered something I forgot to dig into.
It says if it gets a little warmer. Have you been in a greenhouse? You know, yeah. And what about, and I'll show you the timeline here in a bit about when it was much, much warmer in this planet, according to their science and their history. We had thriving trees and, you know, fauna and everything everywhere. Ferns were growing, you know, hundreds of feet high. That's where I was taught that oil came from, was the furnace or the coal came from. They fell over and then they stacked up and they became coal. That's what they taught us in school. I don't know if that's true or not. Frequency of extreme weather events. Again, nonsense. The reason that we think we have more weather events is because, number one, the population has spread out. So, you know, a tornado goes through the woods and there's no one there to see it. It's not reported on. You start moving population in there and a tornado comes through and kills three people. Now it's a major event. Then they've also played this game with naming storms that typically were not named storms in the past. You know, that's something they do to say, oh, we had 50 named storms this year and we typically only had three. Well, that's because back in the past, number one, maybe nobody lived there where the storm was. So nobody really knew about it or cared. The other thing is you've changed definitions of what a named storm is, and they like to do that. Do you think the weather's got worse?
A popular thing where they change definitions to fit any agenda that they got going.
Yeah, I mean, you've been around a while. Do you think the weather's gotten any worse as far as storms?
Oh, God, no. Remember Katrina? What was that, 2004?
You probably remember.
And Al Gore said that we were going to have 14 storms like that a year.
You were around.
How many have we had? None.
Hurricane Gloria, you were around back then. I was on the East Coast when that happened. That was a massive storm.
No. Gloria?
Yeah, Gloria. It was in the 80s.
No, that was before my time.
Oh, am I that old?
No.
No, that one hit. I was in
Gloria was older. I mean, we had some hurricanes back then. I remember. We used to have a lot of snow, but okay. So yeah, I don't want to jump on theirs and say the climate has changed. I think there's something changing because like I said, we used to get a lot of snow here. We don't get that snow anymore. I'm not going to complain about it, but it's the weather patterns and how much of that is caused by them manipulating the weather too. You know, and there's certain things like, I hope I'm not getting too far off on a tangent here, but you know, the Three Gorges Dam in China, the world's largest dam. And they said that if that dam, before it was completely built, that it would create such a large body of water that it would alter the weather patterns. And then you got Dubai building islands, you know, adding on islands and this and that. And I mean, they're just changing. Again, it does change the weather patterns.
No, it's because you have
mentioned things that they're doing with like HAARP and all that, you know.
Well, that's another thing. We talked about the EMF. We talked about that last Saturday. And then again on Thursday, I talked about it a little bit on Foxhole. But we're basically putting a microwave with between 5G and Starlink, which is a global. We're nuking the Earth. Yes, it might be on defrost, but it's ongoing. You know, it's just going to go and go and go. But that's what microwaves do. They cook things. You know, and yeah, it's not focused, it's omnidirectional, but it's going to build up. Let's keep going. It talks about the quantity. Oh, go ahead.
No, so the one thing I remembered it was that John Kerry said that, you know, we have to cut back on farming because that it produces, generates 10 to 12% of greenhouse gas emissions.
Who'd you say said that?
John Kerry.
Oh, so he's the guy who has a 90 acre farm.
People will starve due to farming, so we need to cut back. Really? Because isn't that going to have the opposite effect or increase that effect when we stop farming and people be hungry then?
No, I actually have some data on the five homes he owns, and one of them is a 90 acre. He wants you to live in a pod in a 15 minute city. He's got a 90 acre farm. So I guess he's not that against farming. But they talk about CO. So back to the consequences of global warming, they make some outlandish claims about ice levels, sea levels, wildlife. It says a 2019 UN report suggests that around 1 million animal and plant species, 1 million species would be threatened with extinction. And this is if we go above the 2 degrees from the 1850 to 1900 average. We're already over one, you know, around 1.5. I don't think so. What happened when there was no polar ice caps and we had dinosaurs and stuff on the planet? Did all the animals die because it was too warm? No. Of course not. And then let's get out of that. But that was what they say the effect of global warming would be, or climate change. Now they've changed it. So what I wanted to show you is this document. You got something to share? I see you got something on the back end.
Yeah, just if you don't mind me playing this little snippet of Al Gore here.
That's the part of the atmosphere that has oxygen, the troposphere, and it's only 5 to 7 kilometers thick. That's what we're using as an open sewer. If you could drive a car straight up in the air at interstate highway speeds, you'd get to the top of that blue line in 5 minutes. And all the greenhouse gas pollution would be below you. We're still putting 162 million tons into it every single day. And the accumulated amount is now trapping as much extra heat as would be released by 600.
How do they measure that? Every day we're putting in 160 million tons. How? And where's it coming from? Again, China, if that's true, and China and India don't hold any of these accords, how do we always end up paying for that?
I want to know how they put CO2 on a scale to weigh it. You know, like, it's,
but I mean, this is the kind of maniacs that are in charge of this. Not even in charge, because they're not elected and they weren't hired to do this, but they just do it. I mean,
but I'm glad you play that.
Get everybody in get everybody's shorts in a wad, you know, about climate change. It's.
Well, here's what he's talking about, and I'm glad you played that. So this is what he's talking about, these supposed greenhouse gases, and I would argue that they're not. CO2 concentration, it's gone from 345 to 410 parts per million, okay? And it's been proven through the ice core samples that CO2 does not cause warming. The warming comes first and the CO2 follows. Now, why would that be? It makes sense to me that when you have a warming period, and it's a natural cycle the Earth goes through because of the sun, a warming period means longer growing seasons. That's more, and then it also means more food for animals to eat, and the animals are not hibernating. They're up, they're reproducing, they're thriving, and that produces more CO2. Also more volcanic activity, things like that. It's not like the CO2 comes and then, oh my God, it got warmer. It's the other way around, and it's proven. It's scientifically proven. But they keep shoving this BS down our throat. And then they talk about the CH4 and N2O. I think that's nitrous oxide. And I forgot what the CH4 is. But anyway, these look pretty impressive too. But until you look over here, it's parts per billion. Billion with a B. They like to play around with these numbers to make them look, you know, really bad. But they're not. It's just... it's a result of the Earth warming. All of these are a result of the Earth warming and what happens when the Earth warms, not the other way around. And let's go ahead and take a look at their charts. So this is what they're basing everything on. You see this zero right here? This is, and then when they talked about that, don't get to 2, but 1.5 is really our goal. What they're talking about is rise of temperature above what the average was from 1850 to 1900. So all their numbers are based on that. Well, let's look at what it was like in 1850 to 1900. Let's see. Somewhere in here. This is their line. See this line, 1850 to 1900 average? This is the history of the Earth. We've constantly been above that. So don't tell me the Earth's going to end if we go up above that line again. You know? Or we are above the line, but look, historically, we've always been there. This one shows it too. This is right here. This is a polar ice cap. Look at how much time the Earth has spent with zero ice caps, according to their science. And we're down here, where my little mouse is. We're way down below that line. So, yeah, we're on an upward trend. But look at that. You see there's cycles up and down, up and down, up and down. We're kind of like looking like the old cycle. So I don't know why they think the world's going to end. And then look at this. So this right here, you see this maximum, this little point here, the paleo, whatever, equinothermal maximum. And then I think they had that in here. Again, they show it here way, way, way above that line. Well, let's take a look at what they say existed back then. Right here. These two. Well, I don't know. They had some animals. They had some fish. Apparently, they had trees. You see the little leaf right there? And that's way, way, way above the line where they say we can never cross. So don't tell me the world's going to end. I wanted to show this because this is their science. This is from NOAA, I believe. No, this is climate.gov. I think it is NOAA.
No, yeah, it's from NOAA.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about that? Their chart, they picked a date, and I thought I had another chart in here that showed a little bit better where we start at, but maybe not. But if you look, the thing's up and down, up and down, up and down, and then it dips, and at the very low point, when it's like colder than it's ever been, they decide to start there and say that's where our average needs to be.
Yeah.
And why would they do that? If we have historical knowledge that the Earth existed and thrived well above that point, why? It's a grift. It's a money grift for them.
Oh yeah.
But at the end of the day, they're being used. They're making all this money, you know, going to play. And I want to show this real quick. This is where they just had this. This is Dubai. Tell me that's being, you know, green, being earth friendly. If they really believe this, that's where they held this one. They quite often hold it in New York. There's Times Square. Look at all that.
And when I was looking around this morning at some of this stuff, do you know Dubai is actually heavily polluted now?
Why would you go to a desert if you're talking about being green? Why do you go somewhere that has to be air conditioned?
Why, you know? Why couldn't they do it on a StreamYard or a Teams meeting or something? Why do they all have to get in their private planes and fly there?
You know what? I want them to go out there and hold the summit on a floating ice chunk and show us where there's no freaking polar bears. Let's just show us that, because we know that's BS too. I think the population is larger than it's ever been right now.
Yeah, that's what they say. It's actually grown.
Yeah.
And you know, again, they always go for something you can't verify. You know, well, the polar bear level is, you know, it's a decreasing population. They're going to be extinct. Well, who's going to go up to the North Pole and check that out? You know, you just have to take, because they have a picture of a polar bear on a piece of ice floating away. Oh, that's the end of them.
Yeah, nice.
You just have to take their word for it. Yeah, they're right. Jeez, that's the end.
But yeah, I wanted to talk about that because we're making major life changes and they're, you know, setting all these policies that are coming from the UN via their arms, you know, economic policies, climate policies. You got places shutting farms down, countries shutting farms down. You can't use your nitrogen fertilizer. You know, all this stuff affects all of us. It affects all of us, and it's based on a lie, number one. But even without pointing out the lie, I wanted to point out that it comes from an unconstitutional agreement with the UN, who's unelected. So, I mean, I guess we can try to disprove the climate thing if we want, but I don't know. I don't know how to wake people up to this crap. But I'll tell you how I know that it's complete nonsense, because
I mean, I believe, you know, okay, it's climate change. It's not man-made, because the earth goes through cycles too. Mm-hmm. And like we've talked about a couple weeks ago with the magnetic fields breaking down and stuff and letting more, you know, radiation in and everything. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. It's natural. It's stuff we can't stop.
Yeah, it just kills me to look at these graphs. I'm looking at it again. Every graph is upward, upward, upward. I'm like, look at the entire graph. You know, that's like college 101 when you go in and you're learning to Duke. I think I had to take it in one of my computer classes. It was a stupid class. They were like, this is how you use PowerPoint, this is how you use Excel. And they had talked about taking data out of reference, out of context. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they do with all their numbers.
Well, I mean, I always tell you, the numbers. I mean, you can make numbers do anything you want.
Exactly.
Whatever side you want.
Well, like statistics. You could play with statistics too. But I want to focus on John Kerry for a minute, because you brought him up, right?
No, I'm sorry I did that. Two people I despise, John Kerry and Al Gore. Can I bring up my Al Gore thing?
Bring it up. That was kind of interesting you found that.
Oh, I made it.
Oh, you made it.
I just have to find it. I'm sorry. Here we go.
This is hilarious.
Come on, sure.
There it is. That is uncanny.
I was looking at Al Gore this morning, and I said, God, he looks just like George Soros. So either he's George Soros' illegitimate son, or they are the same person. I mean, I think they're the same person, because I've never seen
a mask anywhere. It's a mask, you know. That's the same guy who plays Biden.
Yeah. Well, there's another one. I don't think that's the same person that Joe Biden was before, for whatever reason, but
So this jackass, and I'll say jackass, John Kerry. He's number one. He's a nobody. He's the 233 skull and bones guy. Got a college paid for, and then he couldn't even go to work to make his own money. He has to marry into a $500 million. You know, he dipped his French fries in the Heinz fortune, and now he runs around the earth spewing out carbon everywhere as he goes, telling us we can't have carbon and we need to live in a smaller place, a 15-minute city. So I looked up, you know, does this guy practice what he preaches? Well, we know he don't, because of the private jets and limos and going to places like Dubai, you know. So it, I got this article here. They wrote about his houses. So he's got a house in Sun Valley. He owns five, by the way. Is it five of them? They're worth $33 million. But you got to live in a pod eating bugs, right? Mm-hmm. So he's got a home in Sun Valley, Idaho, originally built in England in the 15th century, and it's worth $5 million. How do you get a house from England to Idaho? That must cost a pretty penny. You have to disassemble it, right?
And I'm sure, you know, he probably put it in his carry-on suitcase on his plane and, you know, just bought piece by piece.
On his G5. This one kills me. You talk about not living near the ocean if you're afraid it's going to go up 100 millimeters, you know. Nantucket Island, three-story, five-bedroom house, and that's where he married his Heinz girlfriend. Cost was $9.1 million. I'm sure that's probably gone up by far. When was this article written? It was CSNBC. Whoa, my mouse is going crazy. Sorry about that, folks. This is back in 2004, so that house is probably worth about $30 million now with inflation. They share five homes across the country. There we go. Okay, the other three homes. One in Boston. It's a 12-room townhouse worth $7 million. You could say that's probably $20, $30 million now. It's slumming. You know, it's a townhouse. 23-room townhouse in ritzy Georgetown. They have in Pennsylvania, a 90-acre farm outside of Pittsburgh valued at $3.7 million. A farm. I thought we couldn't farm. So I thought that was interesting that this guy is such a hypocrite and he's out there crying that we got to do all this stuff. You think he's going to do his part? Do you think Al Gore's going to do his part?
Oh, Biden? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's your other, they talk about Biden. So as you've brought up before, how much are you CO2 emissions and are you changing the planet with all the bombs that are being dropped everywhere? You know, not to mention, I think there's three or four volcanoes right now going on. You're going to stop those too?
Well, you saw those graphs I pulled up. Let me see if I can actually pull that up again. Because they keep talking about this below 2, and now they've reduced it to 1.5. But if you look at the actual the temperature over history, the 2 degrees ain't nothing. Here, this is nope. That's the polar ice caps. We're talking. It's been as much as 15 degrees, and that's during that era when it was, you know, all the animals living and stuff like that and all the fauna. 15 degrees sounds like a pretty tight deal to me. You'd have big trees, you'd have nice shade, you know, you'd have a lot of water evaporation, which means a lot of rain, you'd have a lot of fresh water. It just, I don't know, I think they're trying to kill the planet. But talking about property, I remember I did a report on Obama when he bought his place where that his chef just died paddleboarding, like behind their house, you know. His ex-chef, I don't know what he was doing there on a paddleboard, but anyway, that home, I did some research on that home. I found it. It was when the guy died, I was able to identify where the house is using the maps. And then I looked it up on Zillow to find out the history, the pricing history. That home, right before he bought it, dropped in price significantly. So it was, I forget how many million-dollar home, and it like went down to a third of that, and he snatched it up. So I guarantee you that was probably a reward for him signing something or doing something while he was in office. And then after that, you know, he always talked about pay your fair share taxes, right? Pay your fair share. He actually had the tax assessment dropped way down to lower the taxes on it, which I don't know if he has to pay taxes anyway.
Yeah, I'd good
like
point.
Yeah. But I just thought that that was, you know, it's kind of like,
it's a big club and you ain't in it.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was interesting how they played with the home. And if you look at the homes around there, his home should still be valued very high, especially now that the president owned it. That should be a ridiculously, you know, high priced home with high taxes, but not for them. Anyway, we're running long. We did get through everything though. That was good.
You know, so there's one thing about all this, you know, like the same with COVID and all that. It's when celebrities get involved and they also, you know, try to tell you what you need to think and what you need to do. So yesterday I sent you part of the aluminum organization. You know, they send out a weekly thing. And one of the things was, you know, global thing, how much aluminum is going to change. Aluminum is the only metal that can be recycled 100% constantly. It loses nothing. So aluminum is actually, aluminum is actually a good metal to use. But you remember a while back we had a discussion about aluminum soda cans. They're actually lined with plastic.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. And then it eats away at that plastic and blah, blah, blah. So this celebrity, I've never seen his movie, so I really don't care. But the Aquaman, Jason Momoa.
He was in one of my favorite shows, Stargate Atlantis, I think is where he got started. He was a regular in that. Oh, but and just tipped us $5. Thank you.
He launched an limited edition aluminum bottle to celebrate the upcoming release of the next Aquaman movie. Like, I really care. MoMA is the founder of aluminum bottled water brand, something, and touts that it removes one bottle's worth of plastic from the ocean every bottle of water purchased. So he wants you to buy his aluminum canned water to eliminate plastic, but yet it's lined with plastic.
Yeah, people don't know that.
Yeah. The celebrities, the stuff that they tout, again, it's grifting, and or they're just told, hey, you know what, say this. And because I'm sure he didn't invent the aluminum can. Somebody came to him and said, hey, we're going to put your name on this. Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. You know, I was actually, that's kind of funny. We're probably going to go over a little bit, but only a few minutes. Kind of funny, when I was still in the Army, my last unit was all seasoned NCOs. We went out and trained the National Guard, or observed their training and helped them train. So these guys would sit around and talk about, you know, their, you know, they've been in a while, so they make a little bit more money, you know, and they would go and get these expensive bourbons and stuff. And they'd be talking on Friday about, hey, what you going to get this weekend to drink, you know? And, oh, I got this bottle of they're selling it for, you know, $80, this little bottle of whatever. And I told them, I said, you realize, and it was like these movie stars and these singers were branding their own bottles. Yep. And selling them, marking the price up. I said, you realize that's just Jim Beam? Jim Beam, they buy that, or Jack Daniels, or one of these regular, heck, it could be a bottom shelf bourbon. And they just buy it. They have it bottled there and they slap their label on it and then they raise the price. It's the same stuff. You know, my wife got me, what was it? I got it for the bottle. I like The Walking Dead. And oh, for E-Pigeon, Christoa Ann gave us another dollar for E-Pigeon. So anyways, she got me this Walking Dead bottle of bourbon, and I decided to try it. I opened it up and tried it. I was like, this is freaking Jack Daniels. And it was like a little bitty bottle. And I'm like, I could have got a fifth of Jack for the same little bottle, but I like the bottle. I have a little display thing. You know, stuff on, which I left my bar. Remember, my bar was in the old studio back in Georgia. There was a handmade bar behind me I built back in Okinawa.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
Yeah, and I just put all my wife likes to collect shot glasses, you know, from back in the days when we used to run around to places. We don't do that anymore, but display all that. It was a display bar, and I ended up leaving it there because we just didn't have anywhere for it here. And the people who bought the house, they liked it. So anyway, I digress. let me get us out of here. I want everyone to please go to freeworld.fm. We're going to be on there. Angus, you got Event Horizon, I think, is going to be hosted on there as well, isn't it?
Billy's still working on all the stuff, but I think he's pretty busy with a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah, the Foxhole is supposed to be on there, but there's still technical issues, and I know Billy's working it out. He's doing this one at a time, getting this squared away. So hopefully the Foxhole will be on there soon. Tiger's already on there with his Tiger Tales. Make sure you catch that. And then Cranium Blender, that's Chris. Chris has got that on there. He's finally up and running. They had a little technical issues. Was it yesterday? I forget when he was on there. Yesterday.
I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, but they got that worked out towards the end, so that's good. And then that's made possible because Tony's been helping. It's him and Tony's thing, and he's Wise Wolf. He's sponsoring that. He offered to sponsor this show. I'll talk to Tony about it. I promote Tony anyway, because I actually am a customer. You know, he did my 401k and everything, and I'm telling you right now, I pulled that 401k over to an IRA, not an IRA, a precious metals backed. This was precious metals backed IRA, which is there's physical. It's not paper. It's physical stuff. It's sitting in a vault. Yeah, I got to pay a maintenance fee on it every year. But if you look at where the value of that is compared to where the value of that 401k has tanked, it was a smart move. I wish I pulled it out about 3 months earlier, because I would have got more metal. But I don't know. I like it. I'm not financial advice. I'm just telling you that I did it and I'm happy with it. And then
Geesebusters just tipped you $50.
Whoa, Geesebusters. Holy cow, brother. Thank you. And thank you. If you didn't see the episode I did with Geesebusters, I think on Thursday, right? Yeah, that was the one we talked about EMF and stuff and bird flu. Go check that out. Geesebusters has an amazing, cool job. He runs his own business. He's got a website, geesebusters.com. Really, really interesting stuff. It was a fun conversation. And hopefully we'll get him back on again to talk about whatever topic he wants. But anyway, let me get us out of here. America Unplugged in 1 hour. You still got something to share, right?
Yeah. So tomorrow is my for Modern Retro Radio.
That's right.
My original versus covers tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, that I've heard it already, and it's pretty cool. You're going to post this online after, so if they can't catch it live, they can catch it on your channel.
Yeah, it'll be on my Rumble account, and it'll be I got a special working out for the video part of it. It'll be funny, I hope.
Oh, cool. You're going
to
put
it'll the be funny to me. That's all right.
All right. Well, let me give the last shout outs here. Stephen came in. Stephen, I always want to say Stephen. Stephen came in. Thank you again, Geesebusters. That's so generous. E-Pigeon's in there. What's up, E-Pigeon? I know we had some other people. Little John. If I missed you, I'm sorry. Oh, Assyrian Girl. I don't know if we said hi yet. No, I haven't heard anything on David Knight. Please, everybody pray for David. Hopefully we see him Monday. I'm going to keep an eye on his Twitter because you know I don't get notifications from David no matter how many times I tick the box. Give me notifications. I don't get them. I do get them when his show goes live, usually when it's over. But that's kind of strange. But I don't think I missed anybody else. All right, so I guess I'll get us out of here. Let me go ahead, since you mentioned Audi, we'll play his commercial, and then we'll head out.
New music, classic artists. That's how we do it here at Modern Retro Radio.
Lenny Kravitz has just released his 11th studio album.
Here is the ever-enduring pop genius, Beck.
Giving you the latest from Sheryl Crow.
Lindsey Buckingham.
Marilyn Manson. This is Garbage, a song called Blood for Poppies.
Robert Cray's channeling Al Green.
Better known as Chaka Khan.
Brand new music from Parliament Funkadelic. Back in the 1980s and 1990s, we knew him as Terrence Trent D'Arby.
This is Taylor Dane.
You know that group, Foo Fighters?
I'm vaguely familiar with them, yeah.
The new album from Slash, Phil Collins, covers the Four Tops.
Metallica's 2016 double album, Hardwired to Self-Destruct.
Here we got Aerosmith with Beyond Beautiful.
All right, and we're back. Real quick, I just wanted to say hi to Steve Swan. He jumped in the chat. Thanks for listening, brother. And before we play the outro, what are your final thoughts, Angus?
I don't know. I'm just still upset that there's nothing we're going to do to get this world back, our world back. But we just work together, enjoy each other's company for a couple hours every week, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we could push back, though, and going back to the verse of the week, you know, don't let this stuff crush your spirits. Do some fun stuff once in a while. Yep. You get outside, walk your dog, do a podcast with Angus, you know.
There you go. Three hours, we'll never get back.
All right, we'll get out of here. Thank everybody for listening. Thank you so much. Thanks for the tips. That was really, really, really awesome. And we'll see you in an hour on America Unplugged. Until next time.
Take care, everybody.